round of applause to Matthew and our whole worship team. Thank them for an incredible job leading us this morning. Wow, I'm excited. I'm fired up. Today is an incredible day, and I'm so glad that you decided to come and join us for worship this morning as we dig into the Word. It is my great privilege to get to share the Word with you today. Again, my name is Brian Fox. I'm the pastor here, the lead pastor here, and I get to share with you the Word. I hope I have any voice left after singing my heart out this morning, but I'm glad that you're here today. Now, I want to ask you a personal question. Now, some of you guys see this giant loaf of bread up here. Let me ask you this question. How many of you have ever been hungry? And I don't just mean like a little bit hungry, like you've been so hungry that you thought you were going to die. You ever had that? Any of you guys ever feel that way? Some of you are like every day, all the time, right? Now, I'm not talking about like just a little bit of hunger. You know, maybe you were on a diet and you know, you're like sacrificing, or maybe you're fasting, or maybe you're like out in a survival situation and you were just really, really, really hungry. You know what, when you're really hungry and your stomach starts to talk to you? You know what I'm talking about? It's growling. And it's not always growling just at you. Sometimes it growls at other people too. You guys ever know that? You know anyone in your life that their stomach growls at you? My wife is that way. I love her to death. Now, there's some of us that get hungry, but some of you have incredible metabolisms. And so you eat, and it's like 10 minutes later, you're hungry again. You know anybody like that? Don't point out the person sitting next to you. But I'll point someone out. My adorable wife is this way. I'll never forget, because when I met her, I was blown away that, man, we'd go out to eat, and we'd have some food, and then like an hour later, she'd be like, she'd be hungry again. I'm like, where does all that food go? It just goes away like she has a metabolism. And I never understood how that would work. And, you know, when she gets hungry, she's the kind of person that she has to eat right now. Are you that way? Like, when you got to eat, like, right now. Otherwise, like, well, maybe the teeth are going to come out a little bit. You're going to get not just hungry, but hangry. You know what I mean? Like the Snickers commercial, but, man, we need something that'll satisfy us even more than that. See, I never understood how someone so cute and so petite could get so hungry so quickly, and then we started having kids. And my kids, they're like carnivores. I mean, they're like velociraptors when it comes to food. My wife, we were actually at Costco this last week, a couple days ago, and we were at Costco, and my wife, she made this comment. She's like, I don't even notice the people that stare at us anymore. I do, as we're pushing our 300 children around in our shopping carts, and we got like food, and I always have to make a joke at the register, like, yeah, we decided we wanted one of everything at Costco today. But I never understood that, and sometimes I walk through the store and I think, why? Why do we have to have children that are so hungry? Why do we have to eat so much? Now, the cutest of all is my little one, Evan, who's just 11 months old, and man, that kid gets hungry all the time. I think he's more hungry than the rest of the kids combined. And when he gets hungry, as an 11-month-old, he doesn't really know what to say, right? We try to teach him some signs, like he knows milk and he knows food, but he doesn't really use them. He uses this one thing he calls screaming. Some of you do that too, and it still works. Yeah. This is public confession over here. But he does that because he doesn't know the right words to say. And so his only response is to cry out to his father, to cry out to his mom, to say, hey, I need help. Hey, I need something, and I can't do it for myself. And as an 11-month-old, man, there's such a compassion, because I know. I went into this deal knowing that this kid doesn't know what to say. He just knows when he has a need, and his job, his only job, is to cry out. It's to say, hey, mom, hey, dad, I need something. Help. And I believe that's important because this morning we're talking about crying out, having a holy dependence on Almighty God. And I believe just as a good father, our Father in heaven looks at us and says, would you just cry out to me? Would you stop being suffering in your crib? Would you stop suffering where you're at? Would you cry out to me and look to me? Because I want to satisfy. I want to give you something that's better than a Snickers bar. Amen? Amen. I want to give you something that's going to satisfy you a lot longer than that loaf of bread that you all are drooling over right now. I want to give you something that's going to satisfy you beyond just what your stomach needs, but something that'll satisfy you completely. Now, a couple weeks ago, we began this series called Begin Again with this idea that we want to begin 2017 on the right foot. We need to rebuild this foundation of prayer, of talking to God every single day as we enter into a new season. And I believe that for many of us, our prayer lives have gotten, well, they've gotten pretty spread out. Because for one reason or another, we've made prayer this big deal, this big ordeal, and instead of coming to God, we just don't. And I believe that as we dig into prayer, as we return to this foundation of talking to God, just like my little one crying out to our Father, that He's going to satisfy us, He's going to fill us up, He's going to do some things in our lives that will change us forever. Amen? So this morning, I want to talk about a prayer that I'm calling the prayer of dependence. Because this is a word, man, some of us don't like this word. We don't like to be dependent. But this is a prayer that we sometimes think is going to make us enslaved, but it's a prayer that will make you free. It's a prayer that if we will cry out to Almighty God, He'll set us free and give us a peace and give us a contentment that we could never find any other way. So this morning, I want us to look at Matthew chapter 6. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Matthew chapter 6. If you've got the YouVersion Bible app, you can follow along there as well. We'll see how long my voice lasts this morning. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 9, Jesus gives us this example of how we should pray. He says, "Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then he says this in verse 11. He says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Would you read those words with me? Ready? Go. "Give us this day our daily bread." Now you see why I got the bread up here. See, bread is a universal staple food, isn't it? I mean, you think about bread, it's like it's got to be there. It's like an essential. And why not? We love bread, right? How many bread lovers we got in the house? Like, I just imagine when I enter into the gates of heaven, there's going to be the smell of bread just coming through those gates. You know what I'm saying? I believe that is a gift from God Almighty. Can I get an amen in the house? Come on. See, every culture throughout time has had some form of bread. And it's been different. Some of the bread's weird, but it's still good. It's bread. You know what I mean? It's the oldest food known to mankind, and it's so simple. You got flour, you got water, add some heat. Maybe throw some other special stuff in there. I know some of you guys got some good loaves of bread with honey and fancy stuff on it. That's good. We'll take that too. But bread is so simple. It's something that's a universal staple. And when we talk about bread, of course, that's one of the things we're talking about. Actually, this week I read, and I tested it on my children, it's true, that 67% of kids don't like the crust around the bread. There's something wrong with that, isn't there? Like, that's the good stuff. My son said that to me last night. I made him a sandwich. He said, "Dad, can you cut the crust off?" I said, "No, eat it. It's good." But you moms, you're a little softer. Mom always cuts off the crust for them. But bread is something that's so important because not only is there a literal reference to the physical thing that we all know, that we all love, those of us who are gluten eaters. If you don't like gluten, you have something else, and I don't think it's really bread, but that's okay. Sorry. I pray for you regularly. But bread is something that is used over and over in the Bible. And yes, often it is in reference to the substance that we love and enjoy. But the word bread is used over 300 times in different translations of the Bible. And so it's an important concept. And of course, it talks about our provision, the essentials of life to have bread. But God also uses it to talk about spiritual nourishment for us as well. And it's something that is more than just a physical thing, but it's a symbol that represents some spiritual nourishment that God has for us as well. Jesus reminds us in one of his I am statements. This is what Jesus says. He says, "I am the bread of life." Can I get an amen?
Amen.
See, Jesus says, "I'm the bread that will sustain you forever and ever. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." See, friend, if you want to not hunger anymore, if you want to not thirst spiritually, Jesus is the only cure. See, a Snickers might satisfy you for a moment, but it's not going to satisfy you eternally. Only Jesus will satisfy you in that capacity. See, this cup of water, man, I'm going to need another one pretty soon, can I tell you? But Jesus gives me a spiritual thirst quencher that makes me not thirst anymore. And Jesus is reminding us of this spiritual truth, that each of us need God's provision, physically and spiritually. That we have a need for bread in the physical, and we have a need for spiritual bread that will nourish our souls no matter what comes in our body. And here's the idea, friend. Dependence on God always precedes the provision of God. In other words, if I want God to provide for something in my life, I've got to first, just like that little child, say, Father, I need you. See, I've got to make myself dependent on God before I can expect him to provide for me, before I can look to God and say, Lord, I need you. See, I've got to acknowledge that need before God will show up in my story. And I believe this to be true. God is looking for a people who will become dependent upon him, who will fix their eyes heavenward and say, God, if you don't show up, I can't do this. Who will sit metaphorically in their crib and say, maybe you're at your crib at home. You call it your crib. That's fine. You're at your crib and you're crying out to God saying, Father, I need you. I don't even know what I need. Maybe I need a new diaper, God. I don't know what I need, but I need something. I need you. And that's the sort of dependency that God is looking for us. Now, I always ask myself questions. I don't know why. God has put a questioning mind inside of me. And I always ask this question. I wonder, usually when I'm at Costco, about to spend a fortune, I wonder, God, why do we have to eat? Like, really, on a practical. I mean, God, when he was making the heaven and the earth, he made the pinnacle of creation, those creatures that were made in his image and likeness, the humans. Why did he make us hunger? Like, why did he make us Costco a mandatory place we had to visit? You know? Like, why? Like, he could have put like a reactor inside of us that would have just been good. But instead, God made us with this desire, this need to stop every single day. For some of you, a lot of times a day. Otherwise, you start getting hangry. To stop and put something inside of your body that you might survive. Why did God do that? I mean, I don't know why. But I would submit to you that God has put those desires in us that we might be reminded of our need for something beyond ourselves to survive. That just as we're going to talk about today, that we would be reminded that there's a God who's given us everything we need to live. But we got to daily come back to that table. We got to daily come back to that table to be reminded that, man, if I don't come to this table, I'm going to die. Some of you feel that way after an hour. But we're sent with that reminder that we need a dependency on Almighty God. And I believe that God has placed those needs within us that we might look not towards, you're so awesome, thirst quencher, that we might look not towards those things, not towards the bottle of water that's about to satisfy my physical thirst, but that as I come to this drink of water and pull it open and take a sip, I'm reminded that every drip of water that touches my tongue is a gift from Almighty God. Amen? Amen. See, our tables are meant to be places of worship. Not worship of the things we're about to eat, but worship of the God who's given us food to eat. And God is looking for people who will pray prayers of dependence. He's looking for people who will pray those prayers of dependence. And this morning, you got some time. You got some time. I know I jumped the gun. Don't worry about it. I gave him a word I was going to say, and I said it early just to mess with you. So you're good. I got more time. I'm going to go fast, though, so don't worry. But I want to talk about three things that our prayer, this prayer that Jesus teaches us, about how we can really depend on God. The first is this, if you're taking notes, that we've got to see God as our provider and our source. So very often we don't. We look at other things. But Jesus, when he teaches us to pray, we're supposed to start it by saying, give us, give. He doesn't say, you know, I want my paycheck, God, give. There's something about seeing God as the one who is the giver of those gifts, that he wants us to reset our paradigm into seeing him as the one who gives those gifts. This is what it says in James 1:17. We say it often around here because I think it's so important. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. See, every gift that you and I experience, the gift of water, the gift of food, the gift of the very breath in our lungs, the fact that you and I, friends, we even have lungs to breathe, that God has even put in us the breath of life, that is a gift from God. But so very often, we don't see those things that way. We forget that He's the one who's provided those things. See, many of us were born in the richest, most free nations on the earth. Some of us came here after birth. But many of us were here, and we are given freedoms and opportunities and privilege that many people around our world don't ever get to experience. And I think sometimes we forget it. We don't realize that when we get home and we turn on that tap water and clean, fresh water starts pouring out, man, we are blessed. That when it's freezing cold and raining outside and we don't got to go outside to go to the bathroom, we got a toilet in our house. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's a good news, but we don't thank God for our toilets. We don't see that as a heavenly gift, but if we were to see our world that way, that every gift, every good and perfect gift is from my Father, man, it's going to change my perspective. We have so many things, but I cannot receive from God if I have not first made myself available to God. See, just like my son, if I don't raise up my hands and say, Father, I need you, then I cannot expect to receive from Almighty God. See, friends, my job is not my provider. Your job is not your provider. Your spouse is not your provider. Man, when I was growing up, my parents were not my provider. God is my provider. He's given me breath in my lungs. He's given me life. He's given me every good and perfect gift. And we got to look to God as our source. He's the one that's given me the ability to work, a brain that functions that I might think, a body that's able to get out of bed and go to work. He's given me every good thing. So what does it mean to depend on God? I've got to see God as my provider and as my source. The second thing that I believe Jesus is reminding us of is that we need to live generously with what God has given us. See, I'm always taken aback when I read the Lord's Prayer because Jesus doesn't say, well, let's see what he does say. He says, read it with me, would you, those bolded words. Give us this day our daily bread. See, he doesn't say, give me my bread. I mean, that wouldn't be good English anyways, but that's beside the point. He says, give us. Whose bread? Our bread. Give us this day our daily bread. See, I believe that there's something important. We don't say, give me. The Lord's Prayer is about giving us our daily bread. See, this is a reason that we pray this prayer that way, because God's provision to me is meant to bless others. And that's true of my talent, my time, and my treasure. Those gifts God's put inside you, they're not for you, they're for others. They're going to bless you. They're going to help you, but they're for others. That's what our step 3 in our next steps class is all about, helping to discover the gifts God's put in you that you might make a difference with your life. That you might say, God, these gifts aren't just for me, they're so I can give them away, so that I can use the gifts you put in me and you've given to me for others. See, this is so true in every area of our life. That's why Jesus doesn't say, give me my daily bread, but instead, give us. So why does God want us to share? I feel like I ask that question 1,000 times a week in my house with all my boys. Why does God want us to share? And here's the idea, friends. We're never more like God than when we give. See, the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus Christ. He gave us the gift that we couldn't earn. And we are never more like God than when we give. Because here's the deal. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. I'll say that again. See, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. See, I can give to someone and not care a lick about them, but if I care about someone, I'm going to share the gifts that God has put in me and the things that he's put in my hand. See, God says, I want you to become more like me, and I want you to love people the way that I love people. And how does God love people? The Bible tells us in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave. He gave us the ultimate gift. See, the problem is that the more things we have, sometimes the less we realize our dependence on God. See, when I've got a big bank account, I don't got to trust God for my next meal, do I? You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to pray about it. I'll just charge it right? My wife and I have been in many seasons. There's been seasons where we've been going meal to meal, praying for each meal. Lord, would you provide for us? And then there's been seasons where we haven't had to worry quite so much. And I'll tell you, it's a little bit easier over here to be reminded of my need to depend on Almighty God. But that's not to say that's the only place that you can. See, Jesus even talked about this in Matthew 19, 24. He said, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And does he say that because money is evil in and of itself? No, I don't think so. Does he say that because, man, rich people will never get to heaven? No, what I believe he's talking about is this idea that when I have so much abundance in my life that I don't need God, I don't have to cry out to God, then I can lose my dependence on God. And when I lose that dependence on God, I can't expect to receive from him. So what does it mean to depend on God? I've got to see God as my provider and source. I've got to live generously with what God has given me. And thirdly, I've got to trust God for today. I've got to trust God for today. See, it says, give us this day what? Our weekly bread. Give us this day our monthly bread. Give us this day our annual bread. That'd be nasty. We need daily bread. We need it every single day. See, there's a reason Jesus taught us to pray this way. See, our prayer is not for tomorrow's bread or next week's bread. It's for today's bread. Now, there's nothing wrong with planning for the future or dreaming about where your days ahead could be. But I'll tell you, the moment that we cut God out of the equation, that we cut our dependence on Almighty God, man, we've missed the point. See, Jesus teaches us, pray for your daily bread. I've heard someone say that we've got to keep short accounts with God. But the problem is that so very often, man, we want to go, sometimes we're living paycheck to paycheck, but sometimes we want to go paycheck to paycheck with God. We go week to week with God. Instead of asking God every day for our daily bread, we come once a week when we gather in church, or once a month, or even less. And God says, I want you to come daily for those things. I want to give you a couple real quick tips. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 gives us an idea of how we can come daily to God, what that kind of prayer would look like if we were to do that every single day. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Friends, if we want to come daily to God, the first thing we've got to do is stop worrying about those things that I can't control. See, that's what it means to come daily to God, is to say, God, I can't control everything that's going on in my life, so I'm not going to be anxious about anything. I'm going to allow those things that would cause me to become anxious, I'm going to bring them to you every day. I'm going to surrender those to you, just as we talked about a couple weeks ago. I'm going to drop them at your feet. I'm going to cast my burdens. Just drop them. See, because God says, do not be anxious about anything. See, we got to stop allowing worry to rob us of the joy and the peace that God wants us to experience in life. Can I get an amen? This is a choice we have to make, though, every single day. I have to make the choice to be dependent on Almighty God, to raise up my hands and say, God, I need you. And the second way we do that is to pray about all things. See, the scripture says, in everything by prayer and supplication. That we don't just bring those big things. Some of us, we got no problem praying about the big things. You know what I mean? Like, I'm planning on moving to China, God. Do you think I should do it? Right? But when it comes to the other stuff, we don't really think to even talk to God. But our scripture says, we're not only supposed to not be anxious, but we're supposed to bring everything to God. And thirdly, we got to thank God for what we do have. We got to thank God for what we do have. It says, in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Say thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Guys, that ain't just about turkey. That's not just about breaking bread. I know, I'm making you hungry. Are your stomachs growling? I want you to hunger for the things of God, so I'm doing my job. See, we're supposed to thank God for what we do have. When we will come to God, it will absolutely change our lives. When we will come to him with a posture that says, God, Before I even ask you for what I don't have, I want to thank you for what I do have. I want to thank you for this family that you've blessed me with. That, man, there's a lot of mouths to feed, but God, thank you. You blessed me with a lot of mouths. That's my prayer often, especially at Costco. It's a great place of prayer for me. As I pray, Lord, I depend on you. But it's only in that place of dependence on God, I believe this scripture illustrates, it's only there that we will discover the peace of God. Because we have to allow God to give us the peace for tomorrow. See, our scripture says, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Say, guard your hearts. You want to have a guard for your heart? God says, I'll guard your heart as you put your trust in me, as you come daily to me with your needs and look to me. God says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. See, a prayer of dependence is how we experience the peace of God. That's how we feel it. That's how we receive it. So I want to give you just a couple things. We're gonna take a communion in a minute. You guys will get to break some bread with me, okay? Can I get an amen in the house? Amen. We're going to break bread together. We're going to do communion a little bit differently. But before we do, I want to give you a couple quick things that you can take into this week. The first is this. If you haven't done so already, maybe 2017's already chaotic for you, but schedule daily time to be with Jesus. You've got to schedule daily time to be with him. Now, that could be just your time that you come into the Word and you spend time with God every single day, but carve out that time to be with him every single day. And as you enter into that time, ask God for your daily needs. Yeah, there's things that you might be anxious about tomorrow, but ask him for your needs today. See, one of the habits that I learned a long time ago is that, man, I will actually bring out my calendar in my prayer time and say, God, here's all the stuff I've got to do today. Would you be with me as I go through those seasons? As I go into that meeting, God, would you give me the right words to say? God, as I go to that appointment, would you help me to do the right thing? God, as I enter into that situation, would you guard my heart against this or that? And I begin to pray and ask God for my daily needs practically. I believe that if we would do that, if we would stop daily and ask God to meet us and to give us our daily bread, that he would transform our lives. That he would transform our marriages and our families and our world even. And third and finally, this week as you go out from this place, I want to challenge and encourage you. When you come to your table, you know what I'm talking about, your dinner table, your breakfast nook, wherever it is you're eating. Could be a Starbucks counter, wherever it is you're eating. Allow your table to be a place of prayer. Allow God to give you a different perspective on your world this week. That as you come to the place of eating and drinking, being reminded that this is not just a cup of water that someone generously brought to me. This is a gift from my Heavenly Father. That this thirst that exists within me is not just a physical thirst, but it's God's subtle reminder to me that I have a spiritual thirst that he and he alone can quench. That as I come to the table to break bread with my family or friends or even by myself, that even before I break that bread, I'm reminded that though I'm hungry and though that food is going to taste really good going down, I'm reminded that that hunger is but an echo of a greater hunger. It's a hunger that God has placed within me that only he can satisfy. See, Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. All who come to me will be satisfied. And all who come to me and trust in me will never thirst again. God wants to be the source of our physical and our spiritual satisfaction. I believe these are prayers of liberty and freedom, that as we declare our dependence on Almighty God, that he's able to do things in us. As we're reminded with these physical representations of food and drink, that he's able to remind us of a source and a provision that's far greater than those things that we're about to eat or drink or do. So this week, I want to challenge you to do those things. Live generously. What gifts has he placed in you? Use them. Use them to bless other people, to make a difference in your world. And trust God for your today. Would you bow with me and close your eyes as we respond to the Lord in prayer? See, I believe that God is here in this place today. That as we have joined together in the name of Jesus, he is here with us. And I believe some of you, before we take a Holy Communion in a few moments, you may be here within the sound of my voice, and you've never received the ultimate gift, the most important gift of all, the gift of eternal life. As we talk about having a dependence on God, some of you need to take the very first step. Just as the symbolic child raises his hands and says to a father, pick me up, we've got to raise our hand and say, Father, I need you. I believe some of you are here, and it's not by mistake, it's not on accident. But I believe God's brought some of you here maybe to receive the free gift of salvation for the first time today. If that's you, you've not been walking with Jesus, you've never received his free gift. Just a moment, with every other head bowed and eye closed, I want to invite you to do just that, to raise up your hand like a child. And I want to agree with you in prayer. I'm not going to call you down front or do anything strange. But if that's you, you say, God, I need the power to get through my today. I need your peace for today. And I need the hope of eternal life for my tomorrow. If that's you, with every other head bowed and eye closed in this place, would you be so brave as to lift up your head and lift up your hand? Say, that's me. I see that hand, sir. Yes, sir, I see you. God bless you. Anyone else in this room, from the front all the way to the back? Thank you. Church, can we repeat this prayer with those who are praying it maybe for the first time at all? Can you repeat after me? Say, Heavenly Father, you've said that all I have to do is to come to you with faith. So as best as I know how, I come to you now. I need you. I ask you to forgive my sins. Help me to change my life through your power and love. Jesus, I thank you for paying my price and dying on the cross for me. I give my life to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we celebrate with those who said yes to Jesus today? Now, we're going to receive of communion together in just a moment. And as we do, I wanted us to have...